and for joining with us here this morning for the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. And we're certainly thankful that you are a part, and we pray, our prayer is that you receive something from the Lord on today, that you receive a word from the Lord, and that you would be blessed. Amen. That's our prayer. Again, we want to encourage you to come be a part of our morning Bible study every Sunday morning. At right after our morning worship, we come together and we join in the study of God's word. And we certainly will let you know, want you to know that you can be a part and share in with us every Sunday morning. Amen. And then we have made available this taping for later use, for later consumption, and we're thankful and praising God for this chance to be able to come in this medium to bless someone. Amen. We're studying in our Bible study time the lesson on Psalms, looking at just two written by David, Psalms 34 and 27. We're right near the end of 34, and we're going to pick up today where we left off, talking about Psalms 34. But I want to share with you our foundational verse, our verse that we open up with for this lesson, and that's found in Psalms 145 and 21. And it says, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord." Amen. Praise God. As we studied this particular lesson, this book of praise, the Psalms, we see that it is a collection of expressive poems and hymns written by different writers over the years to talk about the joy in knowing God and expressing it and sharing it with others. Amen. We talked about a five category or a five spectrum that these Psalms, these 150 Psalms, show us in worship of God. We talked about how the Psalms reflect praise to our God. We talk about how the Psalms reflect joy in serving him. We talk about the Psalms even helping us pray to our God that we may, hallelujah, be able to lift up his holy name. Praise God. So again, these Psalms allow us to see the worship of God and be able to participate in an effective way. So we talked about the five spectrum of worship. We looked at the triumphant exaltation of the Lord in some of the Psalms. We see the confident affirmation of his truth in some of the others. We see the earnest petition for his help in some of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms reflect genuine repentance from sin. Some of the Psalms reflect reverent attention to God's word, as we see in Psalms 119. But again, all the Psalms show forth praise of our God. And some find themselves in more than one of the categories we listed just a few seconds ago. But most importantly, we just need to know that the Psalms help us express our joy, our trust, our love, our worship of the Most High God. And if you all were together, I would say, can I get an amen, somebody? Praise the Lord. Let's go to our lesson. Let's not tarry any further. Let's jump back in there. We again are talking about Psalms 34, written by David during the time when he was running for his life. Amen. Running from danger and even ran into danger. But the Lord brought him through. The Lord brought him out. The Lord kept him. And so much so that he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth." And we look at Psalms 34. 34 as a psalm of joy, a psalm of praise. Question number 14, that's where we're picking up at in this particular lesson, says, what does verse 17, what does verse 17, praise God, have to remind us what can happen when we trust in God? Verse 17. Let me read it once more in your hearing. And it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Well, it repeats previous verses, but this particular time it says the righteous, those of us that believe in God, those of us that trust in God, He will save us. First, He will hear us, and then He will save us from all of our troubles. He will be with us in our troubles. He will keep us, and He would watch over us and deliver us out of those troubles. It may not seem like it at all times, but God is working things out on our behalf. We go over to the New Testament and we see in Romans 8 where the writer Paul says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So He's working them out on our behalf. He's working sometimes behind the scenes. Sometimes He's working in such a great way that everybody can know God's hand on you. And sometimes He's quietly whispering the things that we need to do, praise God, so that we can be rescued and be freed and delivered. Amen. So today, as we cry out to the Lord, He will hear us. That's what verse 17 is saying to us. He is listening and ready to help us. Praise be to God. Let's look at verses 18 to 20 and see what those verses says. And it says here, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. 20, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Oh my goodness. David is now coming to where he is sharing with us that we're going to have some problems. We may face some issues, some challenges, some difficulties in our lives. It's not if, but when. And so when we face these challenges, these difficulties, how do we handle them? How do we handle? Well, we just saw in 17, when we're faced with troubles, difficulties, and challenges, and as the righteous people of God, we can cry out to Him. We can seek Him and look to Him to help us. And then 18 comes right back and says that the Lord is near. That the Lord is near. And that He is willing to help us. We come right back and we see in verse 18 again that the Lord is near and He's willing to help us. Who is He near to? He is near to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. Let's see what the question is that we are looking to respond to. In the lesson, question 15 says, look at the verses, and I just read them to you, 18 to 20. What do we see as factors of life that God can free us from and that we do not have to fear? My God. Well, the writer says the brokenhearted, those that are disappointed, those that are down. The Lord is close by. The Lord is near. He's right near us. Look what the word says. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, this writer brings it even closer to us at home. And he says, not only will I ever leave you or forsake you, but I'm near to you. Let's look at it in this way as an example. You may have a uncle, a godparent, a grandma who says, no matter what you need, no matter what you're going through, I'm there for you. They may be miles and miles away. That's right. They say, I'll help you. But they live on the other side of the country. Now, they may be there as quickly as they can. And we don't doubt that when they say they'll help us, that they will do that. And they will offer their assistance and be there for us. But that one that is right next door, that one is right in your home, that one that is right at your job, that one that is right in the congregation of the believers, that one is near. And that one is able to reach you much quicker and faster most times than the other one who is so far distance-wise from you. And so that's the analogy I'm trying to bring out. The Lord says, I am with you, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But this writer says, I'm as close, hallelujah, as your next door neighbor, as your roommate, as your spouse, as your co-worker that you see daily, hallelujah, as a member of the congregation that you sit by in church. That's how close the Lord is to those of us who are facing difficulties and disappointment. The writer also talks about the crushed in spirit. Those that are crushed in spirit. Hallelujah. He says that he sees those that are in that regard. Those that are discouraged and those that are down. And those that are looking at difficulties and challenges. And he sees those that are repentive of a contrite heart. Godly sorrow, sorrowful for their sinfulness. When you come to the Lord with a repentive heart, he'll save you. He'll accept your repentance. He'll accept your desire to turn from that way and seek the way that he has said is the best way for you. So when you are crushed in spirit, sometimes it's for God to lift you up out of that, because he wants to take you up out of that lifestyle that you've been in. Amen. And bring you to a place of joy, bring you to a place of where you can be saved, and bring you to a place where you can have a relationship with him. So he will save those that are contrite of heart, repentant of heart, and then he will save those that are discouraged and down and depressed. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's who God is. Praise the Lord. It goes on to say that many are the afflictions of the righteous. The writer says we would face many difficulties in our days, and the word never promises that we would have a bed of ease or an easy way. And sometimes we want that, but that's not to be the reality that we face in our lives. But one thing we can be assured of, and one thing that we can be thankful for, is that God will be there with us every time to bring us through. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a praise the Lord? Somebody, God will be with us to bring us through. We may face many challenges and many afflictions and many problems and concern. Just living in this world has its own problems. Amen. But the Lord will be there with us and bring us through. Hallelujah, somebody. And then David talks about facing danger or harm. Facing danger or harm. God says he will protect us and he will provide safety. He will protect us and provide safety. Yes, he will. When we're facing danger and harm, we don't have to fear, because the Lord will provide protection and safety. I also want to point out here, take a moment and point out to you that verse number 20 is a prophetic verse, a verse of prophecy, aligning up with the prophetic word of Jesus. And what this verse was pointing to was when Jesus was on the cross, that they did not break any of his bones when they found out that he had already expired. They took him down without breaking any of his bones. One of the ways during that time when they did crucify you or place you on a cross because of your wrongdoings as punishment, if you didn't die in a certain allotted time, they would break your bones to help speed along that death. But they didn't have to do that for Jesus. And so this verse points to the fact that they did not break any of Jesus' bones. Why? Because they didn't take his life. Come on here, somebody. He said, I lay down my life. So God decided when the last breath that Jesus would take. And they weren't the ones who caused his death. Amen. Even though he was being crucified, hallelujah, he still was in control. So verse 20 not only talks for us, but also is in a prophetic, a verse of prophecy aligning with the life of Jesus, where they didn't break his bones to speed up death or to cause death in the crucifixion. Amen. Just wanted to point that out to you all in this particular song. All right, so let's move on to question number 16. In verse 21, we see that God will be what? Well, let's read verse 21. Verse 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. In that verse, we see that God will be a defense or a defender. Let me repeat that. In verse 21, we see that God will be a defense or a defender of the righteous against those who hate them. That's right. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. God is going to condemn them. God is going to condemn them. That's question 17. The verse says, he will condemn them or punish them. Hallelujah. They're not going to get away with hating and mistreating the righteous. Their evil ways will overcome them, and God will take care of them. He will defend them. Will be a defender of the righteous. He will condemn their ways, their hateful ways, against the righteous, against the believers, against those that show forth their trust in the Lord. That's number 17. He will condemn them or punish them. Amen. Oh, we're coming down to the end of this psalm. I have enjoyed teaching it and sharing with you all, and I'm praying that you all are receiving something from the Lord on today. Amen. Let's read number 22, which is the last verse in Psalms 34. And it says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servant, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Look at the difference between this verse and the one we just read. Keep that in mind. I'm going to read it once more in your hearing. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Question number 18 says, in the final verse, what does the writer David declare to the readers? Well, David declares that the Lord will offer salvation. That the Lord will offer salvation. He says it this way. He says, the Lord redeems us. The Lord redeems us. He buys back. He pays for the penalty of sin. We all know what the penalty of sin is. That's right. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So Jesus pays the penalty. He redeems us. I've used so often the illustration that if you sold something to a pawn shop with the intent of going back and picking it up at a later date when you are financially able to, you go back and redeem that item. You buy back that item from the pawnbroker or the pawn shop owner. You pay the price for having that item be held until you can financially afford it. You redeem it. And so that's what the Lord offers to us. He redeems us. He buys back, hallelujah, our souls from the penalty of sin. And praise God, we also see we are not condemned, but we are what? Forgiven. We are not condemned. Amen. The verse says there that we are not condemned. Those that who trust in the Lord are not condemned. Hallelujah. When we look at that verse, we can see that the Lord is saying those who do evil will be. And that's the difference. But in 22, it comes back and says those that trust in him won't be condemned or won't be held guilty. Why? Because I just told you, the Lord offers up salvation. He redeems us. He pays the penalty. So our guilt is placed, hallelujah, on the cross of Christ. And we are not held in condemnation. Word of God says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. For those who are in Christ Jesus. So, let me go back over 18, give you this so you can write it down. In the final verse, what does David declare to the reader? That the Lord offers salvation and that he redeems us and we are not condemned. The Lord offers salvation. He redeems us and we are not condemned. Amen. Question 19, what does this mean to us as believers? Oh my goodness, as our Pastor Bishop Norton used to say, I'm so glad you asked. Well, it says to us, and again I repeat, we are forgiven, that we are reconciled with God, that we are no longer enemies, but we are friends of God. Not only friends, but children of God. What does it mean to this sentence, this verse means to us? It means that we are forgiven. When the Bible says we're not condemned, well, the opposite of that would be that we are forgiven. Amen. And then we are reconciled with God. And that we now have or have the opportunity to be in a right relationship with him. That's what it could mean to us as believers, that the Lord has allowed us to be reconciled, brought back into fellowship, brought back into right relationship with him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Because he offers up salvation, and we know that salvation is in his son. Amen. Thank God for that today. I don't know about you, but that's enough to put our hands together and bless the Lord our God. Amen. Now, number 20 is a personal testimony for you to identify what verses or a verse that you would find helpful in sharing or even testifying of to help you overcome fear in your life. And so today, when we come together, saints, to talk to one another in our fellowship time, I want you to tell us, give us one of the verses that you have found from Psalms 34 that has been helpful to you, maybe in the last couple of days, or maybe while we started studying, or even beforehand, you were aware of Psalms 34. But share with us today when we say hello to one another, what verse have you found to be helpful in overcoming fear in your life? Amen. So we're going to leave that right there because that is something that you can talk about. You can share. Praise be to God. And if you're listening to us at a later date, why don't you take a moment now, read through Psalms 34 again if you haven't already, and see what verse, if it hasn't already, what verse stands out to you, jumps out at you that can help you overcome fear in your life. I challenge you to take a moment and to do that just now. Amen. Praise God. And so in our last question for this particular segment of our lesson on Psalms 34, let's take a look at In summary, what the verses tell us that God will provide over our lives as blessings. Well, we see that the Lord will allow certain things for us if we do, as I always say, do our part. Amen. So let me go through the list here. And I'm giving you the verses, and you can take a moment and go back through them during your downtime or as part of your devotional time and reread those verses and see if they match up to the list I'm going to give you at this moment. I'll repeat the list, so if you don't get it the first time around, when I repeat it, you'll be able to hear. All right. Well, as we studied the psalm, as we've gone over the verses, we see that the Lord will provide these blessings over our lives. One, He'll to those of us who seek Him. Hallelujah. That's some of the things that we need to do. We need to seek Him. We see that in verses 4 and 10. Seek Him. Those of us that cry out or pray to Him, cry out or pray to Him. That's verses 6 and 17. Those of us that want to receive the blessing that God showed forth in this particular psalm, we need to trust Him. Trust Him. That's verses 8 and 22. And then, of course, it is repeated throughout this particular psalm. We need to fear Him, and fear, not be afraid, but fear in reverence, in respect of who He is. Reverence or fear Him. I'm going to give you several verses here. That's 7, that's 9, that's 11, that's 3. That's 7, that's 9, that's 11, that's even verse number 3. We ought to show reverence, a fear of God in a respectful, honorable way. Amen. Another thing we need to do is refrain from lying. That's verse 13. Refrain from lying. Also, we're instructed to turn from evil. To turn from evil. 14, 16, 13. Verses 14, 16, and 13. And then to do good and seek peace. That's also verse 14. To do good and to seek peace. One of the things we also see in the Psalms that causes us to receive God's blessing is that we need to be humble. That's right. We need to be humble. Verse 18. We need to be humble. And then we need to serve Him. We need to serve Him. 22, we need to serve Him. All right, let me go through the list one more again, just in case you didn't get them all. I'll start at the top. We need to seek Him. We need to cry out or pray to Him. We need to trust Him. We need to fear or honor or respect or show reverence. We need to fear Him or show reverence. We need to refrain from lying. We need to turn from evil. We need to do good and seek peace. We need to be humble or show forth humility. And we need to serve Him. That's our list of things to do lined up with this particular Psalms in our turn. When we show forth our praise of God, we need to be exhibiting some of these actions. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank the Lord that He blesses, and even when we can't, that still doesn't stop Him from blessing. Come on here, because sometimes, hallelujah, God blesses us in spite of what we're doing. My God. Hallelujah, because He looks down upon us and He sees us and He knows what we're in need of. Thank you, Jesus. But hallelujah, when we love the Lord or when we're in a relationship with Him, just like when you're in a natural relationship, you want to give your best, you want to do your best. That's the same way We ought to be in our relationship with the Lord. We ought to want to give him our best, and we ought to want to do our best. And so the psalmist saying, do these things, seek him, cry out, trust him, pray to him, hallelujah, fear him or show reverence to him. Yes, those are the things we need to do if we say we love him. Hallelujah, somebody. David wrote this psalm to thank God for his protection and care. In it, he reminds us that God will deliver us from fear, save us out of our troubles, guard and deliver us, show us his goodness, supply our needs, listen when we talk to him, and redeem us. Amen. This psalm reminds us that loving God is equivalent to, and I want you to write this down on your paper, please, is equivalent to obedience. This psalm reminds us that loving God is equivalent to obeying him or obedience. This psalm reminds us, I'm saying it again, that loving God is equivalent to obeying him or being obedient. Amen. I like the way the Bible says it in the New Testament. He says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. You see, love and obedience, they are equivalent to one another. And you see it even in the natural. Parents, you see that with your kids. You say, if you love me, and we don't use it that way, then obey me. Amen. And so we equate obedience with showing forth a true love for that individual. And that's what the Lord is saying, that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Obey my commandments. And again, we are striving to do these things, and we are trusting God to give us the strength to do these things, and we're trusting God to help us through these things, because we know in our own strength we fall short, but in the strength of God we can do, as Paul said, all things through Christ who gives us the strength. Amen. That's why we have to trust God to even help us to continue this walk in a manner, because we can fall short or we can fall off. Hallelujah. And we need the Lord to help us, pick us up. Amen. And cause us to walk in the ways that he wants us to walk. So we thank God today that we can declare like David. Hallelujah. That David said in this verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wanted you to write that in any way you want it. You can paraphrase it, but I wanted you to declare that today and put that on your paper when you get an opportunity. If you haven't already, I want you to put that in bold print. I will bless the Lord. I will praise God. I will give him the thanks. I will magnify him at all times. His praise would be what I'm going to do, even though I'm up or down, in and out. I'm going to praise God. However you want to write that down, I want you to declare like the song today, that you will bless the Lord our God, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. One of the things I said I was going to go back to was question number two before we close out. Let's go back to question number two. And question number two says, is this psalm a psalm of petition or celebration? Well, let me, before you answer that, let me again give you the difference. In the psalms of petition, we pledge our commitment to the Lord and plead with him to come to our aid. Versus in the Psalms of celebration, the community gathers to lift up the Lord as the great King of all the earth. Well, we read through Psalms 34, and what category would we place this? I believe we can place this in the category of our pledge of our commitment to the Lord and to plead with him to come to our aid. So I'm going to place it in the category of petition. Amen. Amen. And even though, hallelujah, it shows forth some of celebration, even at the beginning of the psalm, he says, come on with me and let's celebrate the Lord. He's encouraging the congregation of those that read to celebrate the Lord. We can also add, but throughout the psalm, David is petitioning God for God to keep him, to watch over him, and to protect him. So we thank God today for the study of Psalms 34. I hope and pray that you receive something, that you are blessed by what you've heard on today. And as we draw near the end of this particular portion of our lesson and we begin to look to Psalms 27, I pray that you stay prayerful, that you'll be able to receive all God has for you. And listen, you don't have to take my word for it. I encourage you to go to that psalm yourself and meditate on it till you receive even more revelation, more illumination of that word. I've offered you what the Lord has blessed me with, but hallelujah, look, you can go to that psalm and get even more. And all that we study, all our lessons, I encourage you to go and sit in prayer as you read them so that God can illuminate your thoughts and even confirm those things that we talked about. Amen. So we thank you again for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. Every Sunday morning we're here, thank God, coming together to study God's Word. Again, we've been in study of Psalms 34. We're coming to the end of that portion of this dual lesson, and we joined in our next time of study together in the study of Psalms 27. We invite you to come, be a part, and be blessed. Until we meet again, God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer indeed. Be blessed, my brother and my sister. This is Elder Mary Ellis. We thank God for you being with us on today.